Everybody, welcome to a Wednesday edition Bulldog Hour. Kevin Gonzo alongside. We are here until 3 o'clock, and CG and Gonzo will be here until 6. And we're going to keep on keeping on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to Jackson in just a second, and then a normal Wednesday setup, if there's anything normal about what's going on right now. CG and I will have a transition time with emails, tdad1@att.net. We'll go through whatever we can. Also do that on Friday. Quick background for the show today. My wife, who was at school, like many, many teachers across this valley, getting ready for the lack of school, almost assuredly the rest of the academic year. We'll see what happens beyond there. I know that Gavin Newsom is saying that it may be the fall before everybody gets back. But my wife had called me this morning and it said there's going to be, according to another teacher whose husband is involved with things around the city of Fresno, that there's going to be a shelter in place today. And I was wondering when it was going to be. She didn't know, and so I have spent most of the morning trying to figure that out into the afternoon, and I had talked to Jackson Moore, who will be up in a second, about this, and I told Jackson, if you hear anything, let me know, and right before we're coming up, of course, the word comes out. Jackson called me. It's all on the websites now, and if you aren't aware that Lee Brand, our mayor, has said everybody by midnight needs to be sheltered in place, and that will stay in effect through the end of the month, through March 31st. However, there is a very long list of exceptions to that particular mandate. So we'll see what happens, but like Northern California and inevitably the rest of the state, I'm sure it is going to be shelter in place beginning at midnight. But again, check the websites. Check the exceptions, and for us, we will keep on keeping on until we're told otherwise. And so it means that we'll be up, CG will be up, and we'll do everything we can between 2 and 6 o'clock each and every day, and then back to the national network after that. Right now, the aforementioned Jackson Moore is ready to go, barkboard.com, and we'll get back to sport the best we can. Jackson, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay, Tony. Just kind of trying to keep in up to date with the news, and just like everyone else is. And fortunately, most of this job at this time of year is working from home anyway, so it hasn't impacted me personally too much. But of course, everyone is feeling the effects of this in one way or another.
Yeah, it has been almost surrealistic. We've talked about it obviously a lot this week, but I was talking to Paul on Monday 2 days ago, saying what a difference a week makes, because the week prior, we were aware of the coronavirus, obviously, the COVID-19, but it wasn't as immediate as it has become. And so all of a sudden, everybody's life turned upside down, and I hope everybody is safe. We talked to Mike Sherinian yesterday, the great restaurateur, the longtime owner of the Elbow Room, about what they have to do with takeout only. And now that issue comes up with the shelter in place starting at midnight tonight. We'll see how this plays out. I just hope people who need it have their medical care, and obviously we very much hope that everybody has the supplies requisite for whatever is in front of us, because it does seem like we're in the middle of a bad movie at the moment. Unfortunately, it happens to be true, so we'll see how this plays out. All right, Jackson, the always awkward transition back to sport. I talked about this in relation to 9/11, that we had to figure out right after that in 2001 how to get back to sport. We're going to do it again here. It's a different circumstance. Obviously, that was a tragic set of circumstances that left everybody reeling. This is an ongoing situation, doesn't have that dire look of what happened on 9/11, but this certainly has the potential to be a big, big problem in this valley and everywhere else, as it has been in other parts of the world and is starting to be that way in the states right now. We'll see how it plays out. That's all we can do, and we'll do the best we can talking sport. We'll do that right now. Jackson, let's start with football, first of all. What is going on at the moment? Because I know there's an emergency dead period, but you can still be communicating via text, cell, et cetera. Coaches just at home calling a ton of players who are at home? Is that what's going on right now?
Not yeah, their same pretty
home.
Much.
I mean, I don't mean that they're chatting room to room. I mean, everybody is in his respective Adobe edifice. How about that? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest misconceptions about the term dead period. It's not an overall halt and total stoppage of recruiting. There are still activities that can occur, and that's mostly by the phone or online messaging. The dead period just means you can't see people in person, and right. You can't have recruits come to your school and visit. And that happens, that's scheduled over the time of the year, but this is an emergency situation that they've got for the next month going on. And I talked to one recruit specifically, and he's was telling me, oh, he's got so many coaches calling him. And I said it was an uplifting time for him because he's been kind of bored sitting around at home. And I asked if he expected this time of year or this situation to give him more calls or less calls. And I said, well, now that you mention it, the coaches are probably home bored just like me calling all sorts of recruits themselves. So I think it's a situation for both ends. The coaching staff is, I mean, I'm not exactly sure where some of these coaches are in the moving stages, but I have to imagine a lot of the new coaches don't quite have their permanent residence in place yet. So that's a whole nother chapter of the story for them. But for most of the staff, it sounds like they're at home, wherever that may be for them, calling recruits. And we saw a lot of offers go out just yesterday, about 3 or 4, I believe I saw. And over the last week, there's been quite a handful as well. So while it's unfortunate the team's not together, this could be kind of a silver lining for recruiting, where they're getting this extra time to focus on prospects, to establish relationships with all this extra time, and study some extra film to decide who they really want to go after.
Now, as you and I were talking the other day when the announcement came down that initially today we were going to hear an update from Fresno State, from Terry Toomey. That's how this whole thing started for us. But that was superseded by the pronouncement that everything, first of all, for football was going to be shut down to the 29th. And now we know it's going to be April 13 before anything can happen. I will ask you, Jackson, given, well, let's take the supposition that we're not going to see, whether it's college or community college or high school, elementary school, middle school, what have you, that we're not going to see classes during the remainder of this academic year, meaning into June. Are we still, if that is a given, are we going to see some sort of spring football, or is that not possible after April 13?
Yeah, you would think. Well, I don't see it happening during the course of the semester, just with everything right. going on that's kind of above Fresno State at this point. It looks like that's not going to be likely anywhere across the country at this point. And I think that only leaves you just kind of the opportunity if it comes to July and you know, kids are getting enrolled into their programs and starting to get back into school. If that's all allowed, then maybe they could squeeze in some summer practices if there would be some sort of provision. But otherwise, it sounds like it's going to hopefully be cleared up by August and you can start fall camp. And unfortunately, you're probably just going to have to take the loss of not having those extra 15 practices. And I don't know. There's a lot of team activity that goes on when allowed that doesn't involve the actual football and the actual determinations of what a practice consists of. So maybe they can loosen those a little bit. There's a lot of workouts that they do during the summer that's not considered an actual practice. So there may be some ways to loosen it up to help teams, because a team like Fresno State, you've got a lot of new coaches, a brand new head coach, and a lot of new players that came in the spring that unfortunately are not going to get their chance to get those extra practices. And I mean, there's going to be a lot of programs that really we're hoping to utilize those extra practices to get that head start and be ready for fall camp. We haven't experienced in any recent history a team going through a coaching change and not having spring and having to start from scratch in August. So this could get real interesting, and hopefully we have the opportunity to see it get real interesting and all this is cleared up by then around August.
Yeah, and when I said April 13, I did not mean April 14. And you know what I meant. I did not mean they were going to have practice on April 14. I meant were we going to hear on April 13 that there would be something in June or what have you. I think we all knew, as you referenced, that we weren't going to see it during the academic year. Beyond that, it does look problematic. I will ask you before we turn our attention to basketball, level of confidence that we're going to kick things off against Idaho State when we're supposed to start of September? I mean, is there any doubt in your mind about that? I mean, with the governor saying, look, it wouldn't surprise him. He said it's not official, but given his experience, it wouldn't surprise him if we don't see the world of academic schooling start again until August, the regular school year for 2021. Are we going to be okay to kick off the college football season? I mean, I know there's a great unknown about exactly where this virus is or is not headed, and a great debate about that that we're not going to get into right now. But what about it? Are you fairly confident that, barring the unforeseen, that everything will kick as normal as we get to September?
You sure hope so. I think another question is, if it does, how much are these next couple of months going to impact, whether it be academics, with kids getting into the new high school recruits, making it on time, and all the other factors that could be a ripple effect from this. But, I mean, they're talking about possibly June, July. As you mentioned, school's not returning until August. I mean, we're starting to creep in into that window that could start to impact the college football season. But this situation has changed so much from day to day, and we discussed how different our conversations were just a week or two ago, and it's really hard to project that far on a situation like this. But all hopes are that we can get some football going in September, and life can feel a little bit normal by then.
Yeah, you know, and I'll talk to CG about this, obviously, coming up in the second half of this hour, but the September time is such a great time of the year for sport across the board, because you have the stretch run for baseball normally. You have the kickoff for college and professional football. You have the NBA starting early now, so they're starting in October, National Hockey League, etc. So when we get to September, there's this great confluence of things in front of us. But right alongside of that, I think you would agree, is this time of year, where you had normally March Madness and you had the start of the NBA playoffs, the National Hockey League playoffs coming up early in April. You had so much going on for the high schools, the state championships. This is about as compelling as the fall is, and it is. And I know there's a lot of stuff much more important than sport, and I get it, though. I'm going to say it one more time. It is escapism for a lot of the population. It's also stock and trade, and it is putting bread on the table for many people. It is not only their avocation, but their vocation, and I never want to minimize that. But, Jackson, just from a sporting standpoint, this is a terrific time of year normally, and that makes it tough to take, doesn't it? I mean, just like September, this is a real hard time to not have all the things that we enjoy watching and or other folks participating in, et cetera. It's a tough blow for the sporting world, isn't it?
Yeah, Tony, and I was just thinking about March Madness and spring football. It's usually the highlight of my time in between football season, and if it just would have been about another month, we might have gotten through all that, but at the same time, it's probably a very, very good thing that those all didn't occur, or particularly March Madness. You think about all the different teams and fans traveling from different locations. I mean, if the Rudy Gobert thing had happened just a couple of weeks later, who knows how much that could have spread within the NCAA tournament, and of course so many other sporting events going on. So it might have came just at the right time to avoid even more trouble. But yeah, it is certainly going to feel like a very long off season without March Madness and without spring football for me, and of course in Major League Baseball and pro basketball and hockey playoff that you get used to, and you don't have college sports around in the summertime. So it's going to be a long couple of months, unfortunately, for sports fans.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave out Major League Baseball. It should be the rights of spring right now, despite the sport taking some hits. I'll also say this. Hopefully it is going to be a we'll never know proposition, meaning that this is going to be mitigated in a way that we'll never fully know exactly what would have happened without the precaution. That's the deal right now. You want to be able to look back and say, hey, you know what, maybe it wasn't as serious as we thought, with the argument being if you didn't take steps, then maybe it would have been more serious. You and I both know the other option, Jackson, is catastrophic, and we don't want that no matter what happens to sport along the way. We want to look back and say, okay, maybe it wasn't as serious, which really means everybody took precaution, so it did not get as far out of control as it could have been. That is something that is truly to be determined. But from a sporting standpoint, it is very difficult to deal with this right now, but there are more things that are of import that I realize in the day-to-day existence for everybody that's going to take precedence over this. But it is part of what you do, I do, and a lot of people as well. All right. One other note, and that's about basketball. A gal now is in the transfer portal. Are we looking at three open scholars for basketball? Is that where we're at here?
It does look like that. Officially, the Bulldogs have the three seniors, and they signed three recruits in November. So that would, on paper, have everything locked up. But now you've got Lazaro Rojas, who was declared for the portal. You've got Aguirre Gao, who is now in the transfer portal. And it does look like the Chris Seeley situation is kind of unknown. Right. He was listed on the roster all season long, but we didn't see him for the past couple of months after a practice injury. So that could be another potential opening. I don't like to speculate too much, but Mustafa Lawrence could be a guy that might go one way or the other, just because he was phased out of the rotation essentially the last month or two of the season. But at the same time, he was a starter when guys like New Williams and Noah Blackwell were sidelined in November. So perhaps that's a streamline for him to get back in the rotation next year. So I would definitely anticipate Coach Hudson looking for at least two, potentially three, and then they turn into more recruits for to add to this class. And the Bulldogs already have three high schoolers, and they have four, well, even more than that, but the four sophomores from last year's freshman class coming back. So I would be surprised if he loads up too much more on the freshman talent for high school recruiting. I mean, of course, if a Jalen Green were able to pick Fresno State, then you move everything out of the way to make that happen. But this is a really young team, even as it stands right now. Again, Lawrence and Christian Gray are going to be your only upperclassmen that have really played any significant minutes for this team. And that's a sobering thought when you lose three seniors, even if they didn't have the type of season that you thought they were going to have. So my anticipation would be the junior college market and the graduate transfer market are going to be the key points for the rest of these scholarships for the basketball team. And it'll be interesting to see if graduate transfers are impacted by this, if the schooling closings, I mean, that people are still expecting to go online and finish classes and things, but there could be hiccups. I mean, there's a lot of logistics that go into transferring and all that. So I still think Fresno State needs to add one or two upperclassmen to round out this roster. And that's going to be a difficult task, more so logistically than just going out and recruiting players to join the program.
Now, Jackson will continue to visit a regular basis with us. And for today, Jackson, first of all, I wish you and everybody in Barkboard land the best of health going forward, and that we all get through this okay. You and I are very close in age, give or take 40 years. So one of us is at risk, and it's not you, although I will say that nobody is immune to the issues that have been presented. But again, keeping that in mind and staying with sport, I do want to finish with two questions for you. One is about Jalen Green. I compared him to Kendall Milton early on in that you're talking about a local product who has great cachet nationally. We saw what happened as Milton heads to Georgia, and I said to you, if we ever see him back, it would be a bounce back, and that's what happened. With Green, is there a chance? I feel a little like Jim Carrey now in Dumb and Dumber, right? You don't need to follow up on that. So you're saying there's a chance. Is there a chance that Jalen Green will actually, even though he left to play high school ball in Napa, come back? or is it going to have to be a bounce back, in your opinion?
Well, I think the chances are probably greater than the national media that is covering Green would give them. The Fresno State's often left out entirely in a lot of those articles, and those chances still might be slim. But he has mentioned he doesn't necessarily want to go to a blue blood program. And, I mean, schools that are in his top schools like Oregon, Auburn, and Memphis are still kind of college basketball powerhouses, but they're not the quote-unquote blue blood. So it's still a tough task for Fresno State to out-recruit some of those programs. But it does seem like it is something that's on his mind as an option, at least, around those top so many schools that he's considering. And, you know, there's also a much different circumstance with basketball where he's probably just going to be right wherever he goes for a year and advance. For Milton, it's a three-year commitment, essentially, going to Georgia. So regardless of where Green goes, he's got so much around him, I don't think he can make a wrong choice. So probably spend the year in college and get drafted pretty high the year after that.
Well, particularly when we have the double draft, the split draft coming up at that point. And so we're going to be closing in on that as he comes around the bend. And a lot of guys are going to get the opportunity to test the waters and probably find themselves in that double draft, that split draft in the NBA or in the G League, making a good amount of change that you don't make right now. All right, last thing is let you go, my friend. Appreciate the time. And, again, stay safe. About the eligibility issues, I think that it's safe to say that even though there's sympathy toward it, there will not be a granting of winter sports for an extra year. But are you fairly certain that the spring sports will get the extra year of eligibility?
Yeah, it does. Well, at least pretty initially, they made some comments that they were in the direction of giving spring athletes another year of eligibility. It's already gone through, I think, a couple stages of the NCAA's process, but I don't think it's completely cleared. I would just be totally shocked if they didn't, and unfortunately for the winter sports, getting to the pinnacle of their seasons, it's just you played so much of it. I don't see any way the NCAA grants winter athletes an extra year, but spring sports were just in the early stages, getting towards midway, and hopefully they figure out all the logistics as far as incoming recruits as well. You're going to have scholarship overload, and they probably have some seniors that just want to move on if they're not star players in their respective sports. So, but for the most part, teams like Fresno State softball and baseball teams, I expect to see most of those seniors back, and all the other athletes on the teams get that extra year back too.
I hope it works out for them. We feel badly for Josh Hokett and the wrestlers that should have had a chance, and a variety of other sports as well that have to deal with this. Jackson, appreciate it, my friend. Anything comes up, you certainly know where to find me. I'm not going to be traveling to do games right now, so I'm here. I'm already sheltered in place. That's sort of how it works with me, right? I mean, that's kind of been the way most days kind of work out. I hope everything's okay from your end. Appreciate it, my friend. And, again, anybody out there, visit barkboard.com. Jackson, appreciate it. Take care. I'll be in touch.
You too, Tony. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, Jackson Moore, we'll take a break. Come back with CG. Want to go over some emails getting ready for his show, 3 to 6, and then we're back to the national network. And like I said, we will keep at it as long as we're allowed to. That is our intent between 2 and 6 o'clock each and every day with the local block. Take a break on 5000 Watt 940 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 32, Bulldog Hour at 3 o'clock, and then CG and Gonzo come up. Christopher Gabriel program at 6 o'clock tonight, and then back to the national network. That's going to be the MO as we move through this particular period of time. And again, if you didn't hear, Mayor Lee Brand has said as of midnight tonight, it is time for everybody in the area to shelter in place. Essential services, though, will still be open for you and available to you and for us. Mentioned this before, we will continue from 2 to 6 o'clock, even though everything will be closed down. It'll be an opportunity since it is a singular enterprise with Gonzo there, and then, of course, CG naturally there for the show. And me, as been mentioned many times over the years, parts unknown. That's one I said I was with Art Bell in a cave somewhere outside of Las Vegas. I mentioned that a few years ago. That's a radio reference from a long time ago. But we will keep at it. And again, I hope that you're able, if you have things you need to get done, that you're able to do that between now and midnight, and then the essential services will still be there. There's also, if you go to the websites, City of Fresno, etc., a long list of exceptions to the shelter-in-place lockdown. So we'll see. And right now, to talk more about the emails and a little bit about that, and then it'll be a lot about that afterward, it's our good friend Christopher Gabriel. CG, how you doing, my friend?
I'm just drying off from my Purell bath.
Same old, huh? So nothing's changed over the years. That's good.
Not a thing. Boy, you know, one of the things that I want to say real quickly, and I know that you've been saying it, we're going to echo this a number of times throughout the next 3.5 hours, is that this is a difficult situation. It's a frustrating situation, but we need to make sure that everybody understands these are safety measures. This isn't martial law. It's the tanks aren't going to come rolling in. We're still going to be able to get to the store. These are precautionary measures. I think they're outstanding measures that Mayor Brand has taken, as well as the folks in Los Angeles, Orange County, San Francisco, certainly other parts around the country. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Tony, is that this is an adjustment for all of us. They're trying to find ways to slow this thing down, and I think all of us doing this will absolutely help that. But you and me, we damn well will be, as long as they tell us that we're okay to do it because we are considered essential personnel, you will be on this radio station and I will be here.
Yeah, I think I've homesteaded in the market to the extent that they, as much as they might try, I just never go away, all right? that's how it works. Though I will tell you this, and this is no kidding, you're right, and London Breed, the mayor up in the Bay Area, had made the comment about, you know, when you are in the shelter in place, it doesn't mean you are to lock yourself in your home necessarily. It means you are trying to keep your distance. And so if it means that you're giving, the dog a walk, that's okay as long as you're not around other people. You've got the 6-foot difference. And I'm not saying that you should be socializing with a whole bunch of people and exacerbating the problem, but it also doesn't mean, CG, as you know, at least my perception is, that you are not, I don't think you're supposed to lock yourself inside and hunker down.
No.
Like you said, this isn't like... You may not be quite old enough to remember what it was like in the Cold War, but I can, and I remember stuff in elementary school where we would have the practice of the air raid, and we would be told to get under our desk. Now, I didn't know that metal and wood put together as a desk that wasn't exactly sturdy somehow meant you impervious to nuclear attack. I was never sure how that worked. All I knew is it definitely reaffirmed that the janitors weren't doing a great job of cleaning under the desk, okay?
Yeah.
Because all you did was get dirty. You're right, though. That is not this. This is very serious, but this is not impending doom, although sometimes it feels a little bit like that when you're listening to stuff out there.
It is fair to say. And I remember, when I was a kid in grade school, We did those drills, and we remember the golden black signs, the fallout shelter signs, and we remember those very well. And I can tell you, and I'm going to remind our good listeners today on my program, but I'll say it now, that when I was in Fargo, we had a version of this, and it was called weather. And I will tell you, I remember I was the closest to the broadcast center. I was 1 mile away, and I remember only too well going in 9-10 o'clock at night. My show was 11 to 2, and I remember going in and basically being on the mic and on the control board in the control room and being there for 10, 11, 12 hours because we had major weather situations. There would be two people in the building, me and the chief meteorologist, and then some other people would filter in. But it was all hands on deck, and the only people out and about that were allowed to be out and about were essential personnel. And I remember going to going through a couple of intersections, Tony, where you had to show your media credentials where the police simply wouldn't let, they'd say, we're going to basically escort you home. So I remember stuff like that before, but that this is not what that is.
No, it isn't. This is a precaution, and as I said earlier, and we will hit the emails here in just a second. We'll also get a chance on Friday as well. But, CG, it's a situation where what you hope is we look back, whether it's going to be a month from now or what have you, and we say, you know what, not that it was much ado about nothing, but that it was an overstatement. And the reason you hope that, because it may very well be the precaution you take right now, is what causes it to look in retrospect like it was an overstatement. It's the opposite of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? This is something where what you're trying to do is blunt this right now so that when you look back, you say it wasn't as big a deal as everybody thought, and that might only be because you took the precaution, which means whichever side of the argument you might be on about this, you then have your justification. I guess that's the good news. If you can find a way to sow the seeds of disagreement later on, it means it was probably a good end. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And I hope that the people who have downgraded this situation that we're in, I hope that they are in a position in a few weeks or a month or 2 months to say, I told you so. I'd be delighted to hear that from them.
I agree
them.
With you completely.
Because the goal here, the hope from all of us, from Fresno County to Westchester County in New York to Burlington, Vermont, and to Brownsville, Texas, is for all of us to say life is getting back to normal. And either a lot of us will say, well, we knew that taking these measures were going to help, or a lot of us will say, we told you so, but if we all come to the same decision in the end, that's a great thing.
You're right. For a minute, I thought we're going to go to the old Keith Jackson deal. All the way from Norman to Guthrie. That was his.
Yeah, let me tell you, the fine young men in Fresno County, they're taking it. They're going to take it very seriously, Tony.
There'll never be another. They were playing the greatest because ESPN is falling back now on as they have as we will. Such a man, he sent the email to me saying, "Are you and CG going to finally answer my question from 2017, which was the most unbreakable records in sport?" I thought. I did say, I said, yeah, you're finally going to get to it, just like the National Network. Everything's a retrospective now, right? They were replaying the College 150, the 150th anniversary, and they had the greatest games ever played, and they not a game that Trojan fans remember fondly, the 2006 National Championship game between SC and Texas. And I always try to make Trojan fans feel better by saying, you know, number one, you would have had to vacate anyway because you cheated earlier in that year, including having Reggie Bush run wild against Fresno State in a game. Had he been ineligible, which he should have been, the Bulldogs would have won comfortably. But I'm just saying, Keith Jackson, that was his final big game, and it will never, ever be the same without him there. That's all there is
never.
To it. And I think I told you that later in his career, we jokingly invented the evil Keith. It was never true, but on satellite backhaul feeds, he started to get, as people will as they get older, get a little more impatient, right? And Bob Greasy, one time during the break, just pointed out something innocently. Bob Greasy, of course, the great quarterback for the undefeated Dolphins, a team that wasn't that good, by the way. editorial comment. But
Mercury Morris right now is shaking his head going,
mm-mm. That's right. Larry Zonka, Jim Kicker, very angry. Yeah. I'll say, well, you shouldn't have taken off to the other league then. There's a 1974 reference for you. But Bob Greasy was a longtime color analyst for Keith Jackson. I think people of any kind of age probably are aware of it. If you're at least 30, you should know that. And both you and I are going to be 30 very shortly.
Very soon.
But if innocently, Bob Greasy points out something to Keith Jackson. Right away, hey, Greasy, I know it. I'm on it. Okay, it was just immediate. And then the one time when Bob Greasy tried to say, because they were down at Florida State at the same time that Ohio State and Michigan were playing, and Bob Greasy tried to point out something about the game, and Keith turned on him and goes, "We'd be up there if it weren't for your youngin," meaning he couldn't do the game because Brian Greasy was up there. So we had the evil Keith, we jokingly, and he started to inadvertently become that. He would go to do games. And remember, he had the deal where he decided he would come back after retiring because he, as long as he didn't have to reset his watch. Remember, he just stayed in the Pacific. Like somebody you're talking to right now has the same gig, right?
Yes.
It sounded familiar while I said it, right? But he was in Tucson for an Arizona game, and I could tell, I could only hear him. I could not hear the truck before the game started, right? And he's going over, and, you know, there's the promo cards. And one of them was about an SUV. And Keith is reading the promo card as an air check, and he's going, I've forgotten what a Dodge or whatever it was. And he goes, "Yeah, it's great. Of course, it only gets 2 miles to the gallon." That's what he says. Right? And then all of a sudden, there's a hesitancy, and you know that the producer's talking to him. And he goes, "I didn't know that. I'm just kidding." It was just so perfect that the guy that we invented actually came to pass those last several years, and it was damned entertaining. It just wasn't meant for the air. That's all there was to it.
I guess there was a phrase. A friend of mine up in the media up in Washington State, this is from years ago, up in Spokane, said that early on Keith had a phrase that he liked to use. It was "How about that?" And they said that they put, as a tribute to him, they put together about a 2-minute reel of him in every imaginable game going, "How about that?" Just on and on and on.
Well, you know, he claimed that Roy Firestone, the longtime host of Up Close and the stuff, when ESPN actually had a talk show on every day that was not something from radio, which is what's happening right now, you know, because they have to simulcast. But he claimed, Keith did, that Roy Firestone invented "Whoa, Nelly," and that Keith never actually said it. Yet, if you went back through the archives, in all honesty, Keith did toss a "Whoa, Nelly" in there on a fairly frequent basis.
Now, Cary Grant never said "Judy, Judy, Judy," but I'm pretty sure that Keith Jackson did do a "Whoa, Nelly." I feel like I've heard it.
That's the only one who did "Judy, Judy, Judy" was Goober Beasley, Gomer Pyle's cousin. Yeah, if you remember.
I do remember.
That was
Gomer Pyle.
Took off on Cary Grant. Yeah,
America's military. Yep. My gosh.
Actually, if you watch over-the-air TV, you could still see Gomer Pyle, USMC. I've said this before. If you watch the right stuff on over-the-air TV, right, you could have lapsed into a coma in the 60s and think you were just asleep for about 6-7 hours.
All right, quickly. Okay. Gomer, you could bring one of these two shows to an island with you, Gomer Pyle or Green Acres.
Right. Oh, well, I don't
disappoint me. Thank you.
Strictly
yes.
An Ava Gabor opportunity.
We all loved her.
She
was amazing.
She was pretty and smart.
Yes.
All right.
I can't say
anything about Zsa Zsa or Magda.
I always preferred Ava. I always prefer Ava.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She was something else. But I can't believe she made it to air here as well. Okay. that's what's going to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. Look out. I want to start with our old buddy Ramrod.
Yeah.
This is not the first time. And again, he's Ramrod, but the play on words is not lost on either of us. And he once again takes a very magnanimous approach to the 49er demise that should not have taken place in the last 9 minutes of the Super Bowl. And I still haven't answered the one, if you remember, about my claim the 49ers should be 7-0, which I repeated to Sherinian yesterday on air. The 49ers should be 7-0 in Super Bowls. They were 5-0. They should have had number 6 when Jim Harbaugh called the timeout because Colin Kaepernick was going to walk in the end zone. If you don't believe me, watch the play again. He had the entire left side wide open, and Harbaugh called timeout because evidently Jim had a bet on the game. Now, that's not why he called timeout. He thought the play clock was going to run out. That, of course, ignores the 4 missed throws to Crabtree afterward.
Well, it's a small detail. Small detail.
But I'm going to make that one 6, and without question, 10-point lead after the INT. They should have been able to close the deal. They could not, and it was all Garoppolo's fault. That's all the thing. Jimmy G is completely to blame for it. That having been said, Ramrod said the 49ers and Brady. I assume he's not talking about Bobby. I think he's talking about Tom.
Or Marsha.
Or Greg. Or the 49ers and Brady made a massive mutual mistake, says Ramrod, in failing to get together. Both of their championship windows are quickly, and here's my favorite part, and forever
yes.
closing. So evidently the 49ers will no longer see the light at the end of the tunnel unless it's an oncoming train for the rest of time.
Ramrod doesn't like to speak in absolutes.
No, he doesn't. He certainly leaves himself wiggle room here.
Yeah.
And I assume that he's not merely a Fresno City College fan, that he's referring to the Los Angeles Rams, or as I like to call them, the Cleveland St. Louis Rams.
Yes. I call them the Chicago, Arizona, St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes. Yeah. The greatest franchise in the history of professional sport, the Chicago Cardinals. There's nothing better than that stuff where they say it was so bad in the field at Comiskey that the one kick, the official actually said field goal's good, and they looked out and the ball was still there. It was a piece of turf that flew through the uprights.
You've never been so scared than a 5'3" Greek grandmother of mine from the south side of Chicago who hated the Bears for pushing them out of Chicago. And all you had to do was say in Greek, Yaya, and you'd say George Halas. And a swearing tirade in Greek would come from her mouth.
Wow, lighting up George Halas, so mind the lineage.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right, we have 3 minutes to go with this, so since I've managed to waste most of this time, it's my fault.
I helped.
But I led the way. Okay, after 3 o'clock, you're responsible.
Okay. You're joining me for a little while so that I can be responsible next.
That's right. Yeah. Like Mike Tyson, we're heading to Bolivian in a big hurry. Hopelessly lost, but making good time. But to answer Ramrod, and last I checked, the Rams went from a Super Bowl to Bolivian this last year.
They did.
I'm going to get that in. And may end up back at the L.A. Coliseum if they can't get things finished, though I'm pretty sure they will. Look, I'll tell you this. Tom Brady, I don't know what he's going to do in Tampa, St. Pete. We're going to find out. But to say the 49ers have had the window closed, it's not fair. Well, what about Brady? Is this a move that was the ready-made move? You know he wanted to come back to the 49ers, come back home. They weren't going to mortgage their future and pay him $30 million. But what about it? Is Brady going to be Michael Jordan with the Wizards? Is that what's going to happen?
I'm in partial agreement with Ramrod. By the way, Carlos's email, the next email, let me just get rid of that real quickly. This no sports thing is killing me. Yes, we both agree. All right. Thank you for weighing in. TDAD1@AT&T.net.
And that's giving Carlos the proper.
Carlos to feel loved and wanted. I think with Brady, and first of all, the Niners last year were 13-3. Obviously, they were so close to winning the Super Bowl. I think if the Niners,
really? I don't remember.
I'm trying to play to you and Gonzo here because of your beloved 49ers. Listen, don't talk to me about the friggin' Bears and Nick Foles. All right,
you've got Tab coming on, so you guys could do your cathartic Chicago Bear bloodletting for the next hour.
I'm going to be burning my jersey on Fulton Street. But I will say this.
Done that for the last 40 years.
Wow, that hurts. 85. You know, that's a deep, that's like, and now I feel like I'm talking to Brutus. Listen, I think that if the 49ers starting with President Guido, I'm going to call him President Guido, Al Guido of the team, I think if they would have decided they really wanted to win right now, I think that it would have been a good investment. I understand that Jimmy G, you can't put the, and you don't, you can't put that loss just on him. But I think with
the, might have.
Well, you might have. But I think with Brady, I mean, he had the running game, he had the tight end, he had the defense.
Right.
I think Tom Brady and the 49ers, I would have made them, for what it's worth, Tony, I would have made them my Super Bowl favorite next year, because I think that he didn't have time last year to throw the football. He was throwing the ball differently than he's done in his entire career. As we look at him in Tampa Bay, I mean, they were 7-9. I think it's going to be better than it was with Jordan on the Washington Wizards. I think that this is a team that's probably going to win 10 to 12 games. They're not going to go to the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to. I mean, when I heard from StubHub earlier, that they had a line in terms of on hold of 7,000 people for season tickets. That's unbelievable. That, I mean, that's like trying to get into the men's room in Manhattan. So I think that
he's here all week, everybody.
Well,
try,
you know,
the broken leg of lamb. Here we go again.
Well, we do what we can. Always use that dry oregano, by the way. But
get that rib shot. You got to get your buddy Rich rib shot ready for
Gonzo. I'm waiting. You know, I'm waiting for the darn rib shot. And, you know, he's in there eating tacos because his lovely fiance brought him. So I don't see any food in here for me. But I would have liked to see Brady in San Francisco, because I really think that was the logical spot for him. I really do. But you're right, Tony. Mortgaging the future, that's probably what they would have done. But I remain committed to the idea that I've said forever. In football, you're playing the short game. In other sports, in baseball in particular, you're playing the long game.
Look, we are out of time. And in all sincerity, I will tell you this, my friend, and I will hang with you in the 3 o'clock hour for a while before Cam comes in for you guys to have that angry Bears conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Let it be noted, Cam was a 49er fan until they unfortunately bypassed somebody in the draft that was very close to Cam himself.
Yeah.
And that's why he's mad at him, and I don't blame him.
I don't either. But he loves Chicago, though.
If Brady wanted to come back home that badly, then he should have told the 49ers he would play for the minimum, not for $30 million a year. Giselle makes plenty of dough, and then if Tom would have done that, Garoppolo could have gone back to dating movie stars of a certain genre, and Tom could have seen if he could win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. But he decided he actually wanted his money, so... Does Brady really want to be a 49er that bad?
I don't think you like Giselle. I've learned that over the last year or so. There seems to be an issue there, and I'm not sure what it is.
Me and Bridget Moynihan are one and two with that. All right. You know what? I have run us out of time, mercifully. I will look forward to your show and hanging with you for a while. CG, always a great time to be with you, my friend.
Likewise.
And okay. So let's take a break and get you ready for CG and Gonzo momentarily on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN.